Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time, dig out the truth written between. Her hair still brick, cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for her story number 42 is musician and businesswoman Audrey Auld. Audrey is an Australian-American country music singer-songwriter who has released 11 albums on her own label, Reckless Records. Two of those albums received nominations for Best Country Album from the Australian Recording Industry Association. She's recorded with numerous musicians, including Kieran Kane, Fred Eaglesmith, Dale Watson, Bill Chambers, Mary Gaither, and Carrie Rodriguez. Her songs have been recorded by various artists and have been featured on several TV shows, including Justified, The Good Guys, and Longmire. Since 2006, she's been working on an ongoing project with the San Quentin Prison in California, giving performances and teaching songwriting workshops to inmates as part of her work with the Bread and Roses organization. Audrey lives in East Nashville with her husband, dogs, chickens, and frogs. She tours internationally, and when home, she grows food, writes songs and magazine articles, and cooks Australian food. To learn more about Audrey and her work, you can visit her website, audreyauld.com, and follow her on Twitter at Audrey Auld. And A-U-L-D is how you spell her last name. Audrey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Beck.
Well, which woman have you chosen to share with us today?
Patsy Cline.
Well, please tell us all a little bit about Miss Patsy Cline.
She was born in 1932 in Winchester, Virginia, and her name was Virginia Patterson Hensley. And at some point, somebody said, Virginia's not a good name for a singer, so she chose Patsy, taken from Patterson, but also because at the time, a Patsy was kind of an affectionate name for a bit of a nutcase. You know, it was just an endearing, self-effacing kind of a name. So, and then her first marriage was to Gerald Cline. So she kept his name, even though she didn't keep him. So she started tap dancing at 4. At 13, she went to hospital with a very bad throat infection and a rheumatic fever. And after she healed, she had this incredible booming voice that she hadn't had before the illness. At 15, she was singing with a band. She played piano as a young girl, self-taught. Her father left the home with her mother and a brother and sister, so she quit school and helped her mother by working days and singing at nights to help keep the kids in school. She was influenced by Sophie Tucker, Joe Stafford, Kay Starr, Kitty Wells, Wanda Jackson, Goldie Hill, you know, singers who were more pop singers. Kitty Wells was the first country star, so obviously would have been a big influence on Patsy Cline, who just completely loved country music. And obviously was very ambitious from very early on. She knew that she had something special and she knew her path in life from a very young age. When she was singing with the band on the radio in 1952, she was heard by Jimmy Dean, who invited her to appear in Washington on the Town and Country Show. At 21, she got her first recording contract in 1953 with Four Star Records. That's when she also was married to Gerald Cline. But she was very ambitious. She wanted to be a country singer and he wanted a housewife. So that marriage didn't last. In 1956, she tried out for the Arthur Godfrey Talent Show, which was a televised show, and they told her, you're too young. So she tried again in 1957 and they loved her. And the film clips that you may have seen of Patsy Cline are often from the Arthur Godfrey Talent Show. She also married again in 1957 to a man called Charlie Dick, and they had two children. And he obviously supported her career because she worked really hard. She was heard by Ernest Tubb and others who told the Grand Ole Opry that she's got to be on the show. So they eventually moved to Nashville. I don't know if there's many people in the world who aren't familiar with Patsy Cline, Crazy, I Fall to Pieces, Walking After Midnight, so many enduring songs that continue to sell. She is one of the few women, who recorded so long ago, and her records can still be on the Billboard charts. She was the first country singer female to play Carnegie Hall. She was the first woman to headline her own show, A Long Engagement, in Las Vegas. She was on the Dick Clark Show. She's got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She's in the Grammy Hall of Fame, the Country Music Hall of Fame. There's an ongoing theatre production, which is wonderful, called Always Patsy Cline. And she was the Queen of Country in 1961. I think you hear her recordings, and there's an enduring quality to them that is quite remarkable. She had an interesting life. She died at the age of 30. Prior to her death, she was in two car accidents, and the second one was horrific. It was a head-on. She was smashed into the windscreen. She saw a woman in the other car die. At the accident time, she insisted that the driver of the other car be treated first. She was nearly scalped in the accident. She had a severe scarring across her forehead, a broken wrist and a dislocated hip. She was in hospital for 2 months and received thousands of fan letters. I think it really probably gave her a sense of her popularity by the response from the people around the world when they knew of her her accident. Only 6 weeks after the accident, she was out touring again, and she was on crutches. And there was a recording that was found in the attic of a home that had been owned by someone in the Cline family, and they found this recording, which was just released in the late 90s, and it's of a sound check of a show that she did 6 weeks after the accident in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it's fabulous because, the studio recordings that she did with Owen Bradley are beautiful, but to hear her play live, you really get a sense of her magic and her presence and her vitality, and just that something, that special magic that she had. She was a trooper. So she died in 1963 in a plane crash, and she was returning from a show that she'd done, which was a benefit for somebody who'd been in an accident and needed money with their medical bills, and they crashed in a storm. She was on the plane with several other artists and her manager, and she died. And people have said that she had an impending sense of her own end. She'd been giving her friends her belongings and had spoken about that she'd had two near misses, and she said, the third one is either going to be a charm or it's going to take me out, or, words to that effect. So it's such a young age to die, and I'm sure she had no sense of how enduring her music would be.
Well, how has Patsy inspired you in your own life?
I've read a lot about Patsy Cline. The sense I get from her and from what people say is that, she was a tough and brash woman, and people have called me brash. And I guess, you look for people who may reflect you in some way. And, she was kind of potty mouthed, and she liked to hang with the guys and be one of the boys and could really hold her own as a strong woman. The men didn't reject her because of her strength. I mean, obviously she had the talent to follow through, but she was very strong and very feminine, and I like that in a woman. And she instigated the policy of no show, no dough. Promoters would often try to rip people off. They'd put on a show and then the promoter would bugger off with the money. And it was rare for a woman to be outspoken and strong in a very male-dominated industry. And a lot of women that knew her speak of her strength and her honesty and her appreciation of other people's honesty, that she really liked it when people were honest with her, you know, even if they said, like, Owen Bradley said to her, you know, you're one of the meanest bitches I've ever met. And then after that, their working relationship became a whole lot easier because he was trying to get her to go, you know, more pop, and she really wanted to stick to her country, western swing, hillbilly style that she'd been accustomed to. And I like that about her. I love, you know, she designed her own dresses and her mother made them. I've grown up with a mother making my clothing, and I love to know that she had that relationship with her mother, and that she, you know, as she became more popular, she went from, you know, the fringes and the horseshoe and the cowboy kind of look to something much more sophisticated and elegant. And at the time, it was considered quite risque and a little too sexy. You know, it wasn't the big gingham frocks that they were used to seeing the little Miss Country singer women wearing. And I really admire her faith in herself and her ability and her ability to be honest and to stand up to men in the music industry, which is still very, very male dominated. Obviously, her talent enabled her to be who she was. I think if she didn't have that incredible voice and performance and the way she can deliver a song, you know, maybe she wouldn't have been so accepted by men, especially in those days, where Nashville particularly was a very male, conservative town, and the women who were on the show were there as very much as a secondary thing. She was the first woman to headline her own shows and to share equal billing with men on the variety shows. And I think it's inspiring. She inspires me because she had great faith in herself and her music. She wasn't afraid to be who she was and to be honest and outspoken. But from all accounts, she was a very kind, generous, gentle, loving person, as well as being tough and outspoken.
And has Patsy actually directly affected your own music and your own production and your own sound? Like, how has she affected that?
Patsy Cline has influenced me greatly, and I know this to this day, as much as an artist, you know, in my 40s, and, you know, you learn at some point that you have to find your own voice in your writing and your singing, and you have to, you know, lose the influences that you've adopted early on in your life. People still come and mention her name when they compliment me, which is, you know, just extremely flattering. I mean, I don't think I sound like Patsy Cline, but I love that they can hear her influence. I didn't grow up with country music, so when I heard her, it was with very fresh ears. I heard her in my early 20s. I was a young adult, and I think I was very affected by... I mean, who isn't affected by her voice and her song choice? I've listened to everything that she's recorded, and it's timeless, it's ageless, it doesn't date. And I'm impressed by the fact that, you know, as they say, there would be no Patsy Cline without Owen Bradley, who was her producer, who took her and polished her, I guess, and asked her to sing songs she didn't want to sing. I Fall to Pieces or Walking After Midnight or Crazy, and she resisted him. I love that she said no, but then she trusted his wisdom and experience and she compromised. I really admire that. I think it's important for an artist to listen to other people who you respect and trust and admire. And, you know, I'm sure that he'd said a few things to her that were hard for her to hear. But you've got to, it's the only way you improve as an artist is to, you know, really receive and be open to constructive criticism from trusted people. So as a singer, you know, I realise she sounds like a woman and she sings like a woman, and a lot of the vocalists today, I think the trend these days is a very young, cutesy girly, young woman, young female sound. And I love that I feel Patsy knew early on what she wanted to be and who she wanted to be, and she pursued that with a great faith in herself and her talent. I think that's very inspiring. I love that she is unashamed about yodeling and growling and singing loud and singing softly. And, you know, she said she sings like she's crying inside. And reading her story, there's been some heartbreak in her life, you know, from a young age. And I think that she really puts that into her singing. There's an open-hearted, open soul aspect to her vocals that touches everybody who hears her. Nobody sounds like her. People imitate her, but nobody sounds like Patsy Cline. She doesn't make you think of anybody else. She's who she is, and I think that's something that we all need to strive for as artists in any medium, to be who you are. And I think she did that in a really single-minded way. And as I've said about, you know, standing up to men in the industry you know, not staying with her first husband, because she just knew what she wanted to do and who she wanted to be.
What do you think young female artists just starting out in their career in this business can learn from Patsy Cline?
I think to read her story, I think she was really well versed in the history of the musicians that had come before her. I get a lot from reading other people's stories. And as a woman, especially for her in a time where I doubt the word feminism was used very much, it was, you know, it was probably starting to, but she passed away, you know, right at the cusp of that. So she was just who she was. She wasn't, you know, holding to any kind of political ideal. She had great faith in herself. And I think women have to do that twice as much. Because there is a tendency for men in the industry, and I don't think they're conscious of it, they can't help themselves. They just have a way of thinking and behaving with women that's different with men, and they can often treat you like you don't know anything, or you've never been in front of a microphone or been in a recording studio. And I think when you're young, you know, keep playing, keep singing, get on stage as much as you can, and believe in yourself. I think that's what she proved, is that she knew she was talented. She really held to that, and it really worked for her because she was really talented. And she wasn't afraid to speak the truth and called people out when they weren't speaking the truth, but in a warm and kind way. So she was strong and funny and sensitive and kind and generous and talented, which is just a beautiful combination.
You know, Audrey, I can't help but thinking, we're sitting here talking about Patsy Cline, and, you know, it's 2012 and all the things that she did to pave the way for female entertainers and celebrities, all the barriers that she broke down for women in this industry. And at the time that you and I are recording this, there's a story that's kind of come up on the internet. Katy Perry, who just recently accepted an award from Billboard, like a Woman of the Year award, in her acceptance speech, she said, among many other things, that she's not a feminist. And in response to that, there's been a lot of stories about some other singers and celebrities who have said that they're not feminists. One of them, ironically, Jerry Holloway from the Spice Girls, who made a fortune off of the girl power slogan. But I don't know, since we're talking about Patsy, you know, what is your kind of opinion about that, about these, especially these younger female singers who distance themselves from that word and from the word feminism in their career, and all these other celebrities?
Yeah, I didn't know that had happened. I think that's incredible, and it makes me smirk, because when I think of those two contemporary artists, I think of their costumes and not their music. And, you know, Patsy Cline, she designed her wardrobe and her mother sewed it, and she was considered a little sexy and a little risque, more than her contemporary female artists. But she persevered, and you know, it's perceived now as an elegant and sophisticated look in the latter part of her career. So the two women that you cite who say they're not feminists, I don't think they know what that means. I think they're ignorant of our history, and there's no way that they could get up on stage in those outfits today were it not for all the women that have gone before them. Because if there had been no feminists, they wouldn't be able to get up in stuff that looks like underwear, looks like slutty underwear. they wouldn't be allowed to. So I think it's kind of ignorant and pandering to say something like that.
Do you think Patsy Cline would have identified herself as a feminist?
I do, because I don't get the sense that she was stupid, you know. I think she was aware, and any relatively smart woman knows that the power of a dress and lipstick and makeup and a hairdo, they know the power of that with men. She presented herself as a beautiful woman, but she behaved, like they say, like one of the boys. So, you know, she was who she was. She didn't have to, dumb down her beauty in order to hang out with the guys, you know, at Tootsie's after being on the Grand Ole Opry at the Ryman. So I do think she would be a feminist, because she implemented things like I mentioned, you know, getting paid before you play a show so that you don't get ripped off. And I think just that attitude of standing up to men and being a woman to do it and being having so many firsts in her career as a female in the music industry, she would have to be aware that that she had some power that was new, you know, historically speaking.
Very well said. Thank you for that. So let's talk about a book now. What do you recommend to listeners so they can start learning more about Patsy?
The book that I reckon anyone who's interested in, you know, female musicians, there's a book called Finding Her Voice, Women in Country Music, 1800 to 2000, and it's by Mary A. Bufwack, which is B-U-F-W-A-C-K, and Robert K. Ehrman, which is O-E-R-M-A-N-N. And I read this book years ago, and it tells the story of how women in country music, how their journey is reflected in the state of feminism through that time period, 1800 to 2000, and it's quite interesting, you know. And there is a chapter about Patsy Cline, and other women speak about her opening doors for them and her encouraging them and helping them and just standing up and not being treated like a second-class citizen because of their gender.
Well, there you have it for Patsy Cline. Audrey, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thanks, Beck.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story.